Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion. Thankful that you've chosen to take time to process the word today. Spend some time in prayer and just considering the ways and the teachings of Jesus and responding to those, Lord willing. We're in John chapter 12, verses 20 through 50, drawing very near to the time of Jesus' betrayal, arrest, trial, crucifixion, and then, of course, his resurrection. And in these verses, Jesus is bringing people to a point of personal confrontation, a point that we have to make a decision, really, of are we going to choose Jesus or are we going to choose this world? He says this in verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So what is Jesus saying here? Well, in one sense, he's speaking of his crucifixion, in saying that, look, in order for much fruit to grow, he has to die. And he's speaking then of the faith that will be placed in him from people all over the world in all of time. But he's also then calling us to die to ourselves in order that we might have life in him. And so when he says things like, you must hate this life in order to keep it for eternal life, what Jesus is not saying there is that you must be an angry, depressed person who doesn't desire to live anymore. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying instead here is that your devotion to Jesus, our devotion to Jesus, our commitment to Jesus, our hope being resting upon Jesus, must make it look like we care nothing about this life, right? He's really talking about, where is your ultimate hope? If your ultimate hope is in this life, you're going to live for this life. You're going to live for this world. You're going to live for what this world can offer you. But if you have your hope and your identity and your purpose and you're really everything rooted in who Jesus is and the life that he gives you, well, it's going to look like a different life. You're going to prioritize different things. You're not going to pursue things that the world wants you to pursue. Because you're pursuing Christ. And as you then therefore die to self, die to the promises of the world, you then live to Christ, and we have then eternal life now that we also inherit and experience for all eternity, right? And so that's really what he's saying here. And then I think that brings up a natural question for us. And that question is, well, what is it that we are living for? What are we prioritizing? What are we placing our hope on in this life? And how does that contradict what Jesus is saying here? Or how does it align with what Jesus is saying? And so he then says this in 44. He says, "And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." And so in this he's saying, almost pointing back to John 3, that Jesus didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but the world is condemned already, but that the world might be saved through him. And so again, we have to ask the question, as he's saying, hey, if you hear my word and don't follow it, like, what are you doing? If I hear, like me, Paul, if I hear Jesus's word and don't follow it, I'm being disobedient. If you hear Jesus's word and you profess Christ and yet you don't follow it, what are we doing? And I think we've got to be confronted with that. And that's a hard thing. So how do we do that? How do we be confronted in that? How do we respond in faith? Well, faith is a gift given by God. And so we need to humble ourselves and say, hey, Father, give me faith. Give me repentance. Give me a love and desire of the ways and teachings of Jesus over a love and desire of the things of this world and the fleeting, empty promises of this world. Cause me to desire you, Jesus, more than what the world can offer. And so I want to lead us into that this morning. Again, this afternoon, this evening, whenever it is you're listening to this, and just to come before God and say, God, help me love you more than anything else, more than anyone else. Help me be obedient to your word. And so let's pray to that end. I do want to say thanks for joining us today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, we do pray that you would give us faith. By your Spirit working within us, we would have faith in the promises of Christ. And those promises we would see are all true that you give us, Jesus, because you walked out of the grave. Every word that you've spoken is true. And so would you give us the faith to place our hope in you, Jesus, in your kingdom, not this kingdom, our hope in your promises, not the fleeting promises of this world. Give us confession if we need to confess our sins, repentance if we need to turn away from a life we've been living or promises we've been chasing that are faulty and that are flawed and that are ultimately against you. Lord, we need you to work in us. Holy Spirit, work in us in only the ways that you can. Jesus, thank you for giving us a different way to live, a different life to live, a different life source to be sustained by you. And so, Lord, we thank you, we praise you. Lead us as we go into our day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.